Recently, I went to go get my yearly physical. Perhaps some of you do the same thing. Once a year, I go see my doctor, and he runs me through some different questions and some different tests. And when I'm done, he sends me across the hall, and they draw my blood and take some different labs. And after a couple of days, my labs are put online for me to see. And there's all sorts of numbers and figures and measurements that they take in the lab. Some of these things I understand, and some of these things, honestly, I have to look up what they mean. But I try to understand everything that's on there because I understand that these numbers are important, because these numbers indicate whether or not I am in good physical health. Now, when I look at these numbers, I've noticed that they measure one thing more than any other thing else. It seems like they spend the most time looking at the heart. They first take my blood pressure and then look at my cholesterol, and within cholesterol there is good cholesterol and there is bad cholesterol, and they want to make sure that all these things are making sure that my heart is healthy. Because the heart, obviously, is a very important thing, but the heart is also a fragile thing as well. That if the right diet or exercise or medications aren't necessarily taken, a person's heart can become unhealthy, threatening their very life. We realize the importance of physical health, and we realize the importance of a healthy heart. All sorts of commercials and ideas and suggestions and fitness programs and medications are recommended to ensure that we have a healthy physical heart. And Jesus, in our scripture reading today, is concerned about the heart as well. But Jesus' primary concern in our scripture reading today is not so much the physical heart, but it is the spiritual heart. Jesus has an encounter, once again in our scripture reading today, with a group of people who we might call his adversaries. They are the Pharisees. You see, the Pharisees were the religious leaders before Jesus came on the scene. Before Jesus came on the scene, the Pharisees were the people, were the place where people went to find out what was right and what was wrong, what God thought was good and what God thought was evil. And the Pharisees were so powerful, so influential, that if they judged someone to be unholy, if they judged someone to be evil, everyone would look at them as evil and unholy as well. The Pharisees had a lot of power, of course, until Jesus came along. And Jesus began teaching a very different message. Jesus began not so much following the Pharisees' laws and customs, but Jesus began teaching in a new way, and Jesus began revealing new truths about how God felt about humanity that often were very different from what the Pharisees believed. And so the Pharisees would often follow Jesus around, and they would watch him behave, and they would judge him, and they would call out his behavior. Again, not based on what God thought, but based on what they thought. And Jesus and the Pharisees would often go back and forth on who was right and who was wrong. And that's what's happening in our gospel reading today. You see, one of the things the Pharisees were very concerned about is the Pharisees were very concerned about outward appearances. They were concerned about doing the right things on the outside of oneself, following the right customs, wearing the right clothes, eating the right foods. And if a person did those things, then they were good. But if they didn't do those things, they were bad. But Jesus was not so much concerned about what was happening on the outside of a person, but in the inside, in their heart. Our gospel reading today comes from a time when the Pharisees were judging Jesus and his disciples because they did not wash their hands before they ate. Now, we know that washing our hands before we eat is a good thing. It's not a bad thing, of course. But if someone didn't wash their hands before they ate, we wouldn't look at them and say, "You're unholy. You're evil." We wouldn't look at them and say that God loves you less because you didn't wash your hands. But that's exactly what the Pharisees believed. That unless you followed their customs, God would look and feel differently about you. But Jesus corrects them in our gospel reading today and says that it's not about what happens on the outside of the person, but happens in the inside. Jesus is concerned about the heart. Verse 19 says, "For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, and slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a person." See, Jesus is essentially saying behavior is important. But where does behavior come from? It comes from the heart. Before we're angry at someone, before we say an unkind word to someone, we feel it inside of us. We feel it in our hearts. What Jesus wants us to do is Jesus wants us to check our hearts. Not just our physical hearts, but our spiritual hearts. But we often forget to do this. We often forget to do this because we live in a world that praises and honors material things, looks up to people who achieve things on the outside. We praise the person who wins the Super Bowl. But is there a Super Bowl for most generous person? Of course not. We often lift up actors and musicians and give them Academy Awards and Grammys. But is there a Grammy or Academy Award for most kind or compassionate? No, I don't think so, right? We often overlook those internal qualities and lift up the external qualities. But Jesus reveals a very important truth that we all must take note of today. And the truth is this, that true peace, true riches, comes not from what happens on the outside of us, but from the inside of us. You see, Jesus knew something very important. Jesus knew that a person can never be defined by external things. A person can never be defined by material things. Jesus himself never looked very impressive. Jesus himself never made very much money. He didn't even have a house that we know of. He relied on the generosity of strangers and friends. But we know Jesus carried with him an abundant heart and an abundant spirit. And it's that same abundant heart, an abundant spirit that Jesus wishes to instill in us today. The actor, Jim Carrey, who has made millions of dollars and won all sorts of awards, once said, "I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can know it's not the answer." You see, we often believe that there is just one external solution to our problems. That if we just were able to accomplish one more thing, or if we just had a certain amount of money, or if we had a certain amount of health, that all our problems would go away, that everything would just be fine. But people who do that end up chasing a ghost. It's once been said, and I think it's true, there is no material solution to a spiritual problem. There's no material solution to a spiritual problem. You see, if we want to find true peace, if we want to find true direction, true purpose in our life, we first and foremost must tend to the hearts. We must seek to be spiritually fit. All of us know what it's like to start a new exercise routine or a new diet or go to the gym. We realize the importance of these things to keep our bodies healthy. That without exercise, without diet, with all these things, that our bodies will begin to grow unhealthy. But the same can be said for our spirits. If we don't attend to our spiritual lives, to our hearts, then that can grow unhealthy as well. And what Jesus wants us to do is think not only about how we can be physically fit, but spiritually fit as well. So the question then becomes, how do we do that? How do we ensure that we are being spiritually fit? Well, the first answer won't surprise you. The first answer is that we should pray. Now, this is an answer that we often say, but it's true. But I want you to consider about praying in a very specific way. I mentioned before that it's important to focus not only on the external, not only on the material, but on the spiritual as well. And if we think about our prayer lives, more often than not, perhaps we're only praying for material and external things. Very often when we pray, we think about all our worldly problems. And I'm not minimizing them, and I'm not saying they're not important, but we often start and end there. We often ask God to fix our worldly problems. And that's good. We should ask God to fix our worldly problems. We should ask God to intervene in the physical, material world because God deeply cares about that world. The Lord's Prayer, for example, says, "Give us this day our daily bread." We know that God deeply cares about our human needs. But God also cares about our spiritual needs. And our spiritual needs are just as important. You see, when you pray, don't simply ask God to change your circumstances, but first and foremost, ask God to change your hearts. It's been said, and I think it's true, that prayer does not always change our circumstances, but prayer always changes us. Have you ever had a prayer where maybe you prayed sincerely, maybe you prayed deeply, maybe you prayed from the heart? You just poured your heart out to God, all your thoughts, all your feelings, all your worries. You just poured out your heart to God, and then you said amen, and you got up and you went about your day. And at some point you felt different. Maybe the problem you were praying about wasn't fixed. Maybe things didn't all get better right away, but you felt different. You felt more at peace. That is God tending to your heart. And God will tend to your heart. God will give you greater clarity and greater peace if you simply ask Him. The second, and also important thing that we need to do, is we need to look for opportunities to spiritually exercise our hearts. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I mentioned before that in order to physically exercise, we need to do something. We need to be active, right? But in order to spiritually exercise, we need to do the same thing. We need to look for opportunities to be kind. We need to look for opportunities to be generous. We need to look for opportunities to forgive, to show compassion and love. And the beautiful thing about this is it's something that anyone can do. It's something that anyone can get stronger at. You see, it doesn't matter if we're rich or if we're poor, if we're healthy or if we're sick. We all can practice becoming more and more spiritually fit. Every time you go and you pay for groceries at the grocery counter, at the checkout counter, you have an opportunity to practice kindness. You have an opportunity to practice kindness to maybe someone who hasn't heard a kind word in a while. We all know how hard certain people are working these days, and especially grocery workers. And we know it's not easy for them to do their jobs. And we know that sometimes people complain, or people don't like things, or people get upset. Well, we can act kindness towards them. And it will not only change them, but it will also change us. When we go out to eat at a restaurant, we have an opportunity to be generous. We have an opportunity to tip well. Now, you may think this is no big thing, but as a former waiter, believe me, a generous tip can make all the difference in the world. You see, God fills our life with tons and tons and tons of these opportunities to grow spiritually, to become more spiritually fit. All we have to do is look for them. All we have to do is take advantage of them. So tend to the material problems in your life. Make yourself physically fit, but don't neglect the spiritual hearts as well. Place emphasis on that, and when you pray, ask God not just to change your circumstances, but to change your heart. And then go about practicing getting spiritually fit by being more kind, patient, forgiving, and loving. Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for this opportunity to hear your word and to grow in faith. And we ask, God, that you would change our hearts, that you would help us be kinder, that you would help us be more patient, and we, most of all, that you would help us be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.